brought to you by entrepreneurs at the University of Utah. Welcome to the Live, Create, Launch podcast, where we try to provide tools and insights on how to become a better founder, creator, and innovator. Here we go.
And here we go.
What's up? Welcome. I'm your host, Gavin Van Wagner, and today we talk with Professor Jay Barney. This guy is legendary. He has written a book, better yet, books, around eight now, on business strategy. For entrepreneurs and startups, this is a guy you want to listen to. Dr. Barney is a presidential professor of strategic management and the Pierre Lassonde Chair of Social Entrepreneurship at the University of Utah David Eccles School of Business. Professor Barney is well known for his theories of competitive advantage, you know, kind of the important stuff like building a business that can withstand new competitors, threats, disruptions, and creating a plan on how to maintain and grow during those different phases of your business. And if you don't think you have competitors or there are threats of your customers using a substitute product or service, think again. And you really, really need to listen to this episode. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Live, Create, Launch podcast. We're joined today by the great Dr. Barney, one of the country's leading experts on strategy and strategic management. Thank you so much for joining us and welcome.
Great, Dr. Barney. It makes me sound like I'm dead.
Yeah,
I'm almost
dead. No, that's respect. It's totally respect. So you are officially the first professor on our show. So we ask you to not screw this up for us.
Okay,
you
know? No problem. I'll do my best.
Okay. No, I'm the only one who'll screw this up. So I, as mentioned, and of course, as you remember, I'm sure I'm a former student of yours. I was in one of your MBA courses called Business Strategy. And really not to patronize, I thought it was one of the most interesting courses of during my schooling there, and the material in the class discussions were just fantastic. Don't tell the other professors that, but and also over the years, as I've met with some of my former classmates and students and friends, we've all sort of reminisced and sort of exchanged notes and said, "All right, which class was the most helpful, and what are you using? And was it marketing? Was it this? Was it finance? Was it this?" And really, a lot of the time, it comes back to Dr. Barney's on business strategy and how to use that, and five forces and BRIO, and there's some really fantastic stuff.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
I've dusted off my book a number of times and gone back to my notes. So just sort of for our listeners, just to give a little background on maybe what one of your classes might be like, and then we'll get into some of these questions. We had some great discussions in our classes about Southwest Airlines, the circus industry, which was fantastic, Harlequin Enterprises, which we had a lot of fun with
a fellow
classmate, where he, you know, all of a sudden had these books all over. It was weird. He even brought one to Japan when we made a trip over there. It was kind of bizarre, but you know who you are.
Sure.
And I love that bit that we did on RC Cola, Coke.
Oh, yeah.
And how our classmate could not figure that out.
That's
so
right.
The gist of that and the point of that and some of what I was able to gather from that is the concepts that you teach and that you talk about are all tied to tease out competitive advantages for companies and for successful your firms for what they can do to stay ahead. So we'll cover a couple of those topics. But first, outside of class maybe, and what's keeping you busy right now? Any interesting consulting or any interesting research that entrepreneurs should know about right now?
Well, what's keeping me busy is since our class about a year now ago, I was appointed as an editor of one of our major academic journals, the Academy of Management Review, and that's keeping me busy.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Basically, we get roughly 20 papers a week that I have to then make assignments and read and get some sense of where they're going at. That's what I've been working on all day today, for example. We're doing paper development workshop where I have to make, I got 45 papers to deal with today. So that's been keeping me pretty busy, the editorial stuff. And then I'm doing some work, I think interesting work, on the relationship between stakeholders and traditional strategic management theory and how that would, what implications that would have for management practice and competitive advantage. And so I have a couple papers and I'm working on a book that will sort of lay some of those ideas out.
So this will be your eighth book, seventh book? I know the sixth book.
Yeah, actually, it's hard to remember.
Yeah. Seven or eight. You've written a book on all of it.
Yeah. I know, it's kind of scary, but yeah.
Awesome. So talking about books, As a student, you had us read what I believe was your sixth book, a novel entitled What I Didn't Learn in Business School, How Strategy Works in the Real World. And we'll link to that in this in the podcast notes. But for entrepreneurs and for startups and that, you know, who we're targeting, you say about the book, and I'm not sure if it's totally for startups or for entrepreneurs, but in the book you say, or talking about the book, you say it's a really fast, easy way to get to know what business is, or what business is like. And so for an entrepreneur or for a startup, what's the abbreviated version of what business is really like?
Yeah, that's really a great setup, because the novel is written, the story, very briefly, is a, it's a coming of age story. So it's a very smart young man, graduates from a really good University of Texas at Austin with a computer science degree, and works for a couple of years as a techie person, and then goes, gets an MBA at a top school, does very, very well, and then he gets hired at this consulting firm. And the story is about his first week on the job, basically.
Plastiware.
Yeah, that's the technology. We had made up the weirdest name we could think of.
I like it. It's stuck. It's sticky.
And basically what he does is he goes through the first week in his consulting practice, and he implements all the tools they learn in strategy. And the part that is the big learning for him is that strategy is not just a series of analyses. It's actually, you need to have a deep understanding of the organization's capabilities, the dynamics, the organizational, interpersonal kinds of things that are going on. And so he discovers that over this period of a short period of time. The main difference between business strategy, and by the way, the corporation he works with is a large, diversified firm, especially chemicals company that we invented, and so there's a lot of these sort of corporate dynamics. There's a bit of merger and acquisition story that goes on in the background because the company might be in play, and there's some other things that are going on. So the biggest difference between working in that corporate setting, either established business or, in this case, a large corporate, publicly traded corporate firm, and an entrepreneurial setting, I think has to do with the informational context within which decisions are made. So in a large corporation, there's innovation, but innovation typically, not always, but typically means building on your established products or portfolio of products and services, fine-tuning them, adjusting them, and innovating around those things.
I'm not discounting French fries to the Big Mac.
I'm not discounting that as innovation, whereas in an entrepreneurial setting, a lot of stuff you're thinking of or trying to bring out is new to the world, or at least you hope it's new to the world.
Yeah.
And what that means is that in a large corporate setting, typically you will often have more information about this new product you're bringing to the table. And so your operation, you don't know everything. I mean, new product innovations still fail all the time in these large corporate settings. But you probably have enough information to really sort of characterize the situation as risky. So you can, and risky by that, I mean, you know the possible outcomes and the probability of those outcomes. Where in an entrepreneurial setting, you're not operating in conditions of risk typically, you're operating in conditions of uncertainty, where you don't know the possible outcomes and you also don't know the probability.
Right.
And a lot of strategic management models that I've developed and been involved in developing and use over the years really depend critically on risk-based decision-making tools. So, in fact, most of what we do can be thought of as trying to estimate the cash flows associated with the strategy and then the discount rates that come back to that. So strategy sort of fills in the blanks that are created by sort of traditional financial models. But in entrepreneurial settings, most of those tools, they can still be helpful. I'm not saying they have no value. But uncertainty creates another set of challenges. It's just one simple example. Suppose you want to hire somebody to work for your company. If you're operating in conditions of risk, what you do is you say, here's our business model. I'm not going to tell you it's going to work for sure, but here are the risks. Here's the upside. And we can actually enroll you into the company. We can hire you and bring your human capital online in the company based on the nature of the strategy and its probable, although not certain, outcomes. in an entrepreneurial setting, you know, you can't do that. In the business, right. The business model, I think the business model is this, and then 3 days later, it could be something completely different.
Something else, yeah.
And this notion of quick pivoting and learning fast and failing quickly and all that stuff. So you can't use the quality of the business model as a way of enrolling people in a really highly uncertain entrepreneurial setting. So it just has all sorts of implications like that about how are we going to actually accomplish this in an entrepreneurial setting. So that's, I think, the biggest distinction between the context of the novel and the entrepreneurial context. By the way, the publisher wants us to write another novel.
Nice.
And this one would be more on innovation.
Yeah.
And it would include the possibility of a spinoff. So we want to get a little finance, a little bit of innovation, a little entrepreneurship. So
awesome.
Someday we might do that.
It was an interesting book and it's an interesting fun. Approach to teach. Methodology.
It is an easy read. Yeah. It's 3 hours and it's done. So.
For sure.
And there's even a little romance in it. In the second novel.
Yeah. That's your Harlequin coming through.
In the second novel, the hero and his girlfriend are now married and have 2 children. But they have, interesting, in the second novel, they have some difficulties because he's on the road all the time and she's getting old. And but I will say this, the third novel ends with her expecting their first son. So
awesome. Okay, stay tuned for that.
That's right. We have to write it down.
Okay, so just sort of going back to strategy, obviously. Mm-hmm. Prior to your class and some of these readings, I had totally thought about strategy in a different setting. You know, I'd participated in quarterly strategic planning, and I kind of had a thought
around
this is what strategy is.
Normally a waste of time.
And it was a mind, opening experience to sort of go through this and learn how to use this and so forth. So, but one of the interesting things, and this goes back to some of the original notes from the class, and, again, toward entrepreneurs and startups. So entrepreneurs or startups coming out might say, all right, we're going to come up with a mission statement. This is what we do. And you've talked a little bit about that, and quoting, some of your notes, you say strategy isn't a mission statement of here's what we do, or fancy words masquerading as substance or goal. So why is it not necessarily, and maybe I'm mixing this up, but a mission statement, although you probably need one at some point, it's not really a strategy, right? What's the difference?
Well, it's actually the my first lecture in the first day class is what is strategy, and I say let's start by agreeing about what strategy is not.
Yeah.
And the number one thing is it's not a mission statement. It's okay to have a mission statement.
I mean,
as long as it doesn't become too constraining.
Sure.
But sort of having some broad statement of your overall purposes is not that interesting, typically. I think I have 4 examples. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I have 4 examples. A first mission statement is a very clear statement of what a firm does. So our mission is we're a bank. Okay, well, I kind of knew you're a bank already. So the next example of a mission statement is an obscure characterization of what it is you do. An actual mission statement. I think it goes something like, we are a customer-centric financial intermediary. In other words, they're a bank.
Yeah.
So that's not helpful.
Right.
And the third one is a list of goals, which is always interesting. Our mission is to be the largest market share or the highest profitability or something like that. And the problem with those is they often don't have an actual plan for how it's going to happen. It's just a list of goals. And the last are, and by far the most common, are motherhood and apple pie statements like, our mission is to have great employees, support our communities, and generate a high rate of return for our investors. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
while doing good.
Yeah, well, I can't exactly argue against that at all, but whether that's, of the million ways you could do that, which way you're going to choose? And there's nothing in there. So mission statements are fine. I always tell a story. I've never told this on the radio, though.
Don't give away too much.
I'll
save it for the class.
I'll save it for the class. Okay. And I think that in an entrepreneurial setting, mission statements are even less, are even more problematic because, again, the mission
too constraining. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not. Well, I don't know why you would spend any time writing a mission statement when what you really want to do is find out what your product is likely to be and how do customers respond to it. And then, you know, we can backfill a mission statement. If someone requires to have a mission statement later on, then fine, do it. But that's not strategy. And by the way, entrepreneurship is not strategy. And so strategy really is trying to figure out your, based on data and your analysis, how to gain a competitive advantage in the current marketplace. Entrepreneurship is about creating a marketplace. And it's really a different thing. So the way I always describe it is, in larger companies, established companies, strategy leads to various behaviors and outcomes. Whereas in entrepreneurial things, behaviors and outcomes lead to strategy.
Yeah.
And we end up defining our strategy after we do what the market, how the market responds, how we learn, and those kinds of things.
Awesome. Okay, so one of the things that I loved learning about in your class and that I find super helpful as an entrepreneur and being involved in different startups is the five forces analysis.
Sure.
So for those that aren't familiar, the five forces, it's a process that measures the threat level of an industry and may help others understand what others have, may not have, and can help guide strategy. So, you know, in the few minutes we have left, we won't be able to do it justice, but what's sort of the cliff notes of how an entrepreneur might be able to use the five forces model?
So the five forces model simply is a way of characterizing the level of different kinds of threats that an entrepreneur might face. Its primary usefulness, it seems to me, both at corporate in larger companies and in entrepreneurial settings, is making sure you think about all the possible threats. So, you hear an entrepreneur who comes up with a new idea and says, I have no competitors. That's no rivals, and I'm in a great position. Well, A, that's almost never true.
Right.
B, if there aren't current rivals, then watch out for new entrants, which then is another
you're creating an industry, you're going to get
people are going to come in. If you're making a ton of money, you're going to have people following you, and they're going to bring stuff that you didn't bring to the table. And if they don't, the suppliers might forward vertical integrate, or the customers might backward vertical integrate. So all that is just a way of thinking, and of course the presence of substitutes also suggests that there's rivalry that way. So really, what the five forces framework does is unbundle the concept of competition into these five possible sources of competition, and it makes you think carefully about, okay, I may be unique right now, so low rivalry, but that doesn't mean there aren't substitutes, that doesn't mean there isn't the threat of new entry and buyers and suppliers as well. So I think it can be extremely useful that way.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of judging in business plan competitions, and so a red flag to me is when someone says, our product is absolutely unique and there's nothing out there that's even close. That means
cringeworthy.
That means they haven't done enough market research, because there's usually stuff out there. And now it doesn't mean yours isn't better or something, but then you have to start thinking about how we can sustain that competitive advantage that we have.
Awesome. Okay, well, this has been an absolute honor to sit with one of the great business thinkers and be able to pick your brain for a few minutes. Dr. Barney, we thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights with the Live, Create, Launch podcast, and look forward to these next few books and all these other things that you're going
to
produce.
I have to write them now.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll add some links in the podcast where you can find some of Professor Barney's books and articles. Super valuable stuff. We hope you're enjoying the Live, Create, Launch series, and we're working on adding new content each week with interesting conversations with professors, entrepreneurs, founders, and experts. Please subscribe and check out accompanying articles at lasan.utah.edu/news. Thank you.